Good morning, good morning. It's good to see you all. Happy holiday weekend. Now, when I say holiday weekend, I'm sure some of you are picturing the cookout that you might be having tomorrow, or you're thinking through your plans for Memorial Day. But did anyone think of Global Turtle Day? Anyone? That was yesterday, if you didn't know. It's a busy holiday week because Tuesday is National, I think, Build a Paper Airplane Day. It's a busy week. But I bet there's some of you in this room who, when I say holiday weekend, you're thinking of holiday in the sense that the word holiday was originally derived from, holy day. And how many of you, you're probably the same type of people that answer Jesus to every question. You're just wanting to shout because you're like, Kylie, today is a holy day. Today is Pentecost. Yeah, look at you. Look at you. Today is Pentecost. And so the thing that separates holidays like Global Turtle Day and Paper Airplane Day is that we're not just celebrating things we're like, but we're actually remembering a historic event. And so today, Pentecost Sunday, we are going to be remembering and celebrating the work of God that happened as a real historic event 2,000 years ago. But before we do that, today we are also closing out our Come Holy Spirit series. And so if you were here for the introduction 6 weeks ago, you'll probably hear a lot of the same things today. Because 6 weeks ago, as we started things off, we began by talking about how the Spirit and the work of the Spirit are signs of God's kingdom. We also talked about our role to partner with the Spirit as an empowered and embodied witness to the rest of the world. We are lights in darkness. We witness beyond just words, but through action, through how we engage with people around us and the world around us in matters of the kingdom like justice and healing and freedom. And everything that we've talked about in the weeks that have followed, everything we've talked about with the Spirit, about the work of the Spirit, bears witness to the world who God is and what his kingdom is about. God, in his grace, has chosen us to be the people that witness to the kingdom. And so we've spent Sundays looking a little closer at some of the ways that we bear witness to God's kingdom and his character. We talked about healing, tongues, deliverance, as ways that we partner with the Spirit to point to the kingdom that is breaking into our present reality. And so today, Acts is sort of a bookend because we started this series looking at Acts 1:8. Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his followers that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And today we end the series celebrating and remembering the historic day of Pentecost when this promise was fulfilled. So would you join me in turning to Acts 2? I even want to take a moment. If you want to get your phone out and get the Bible app, go to Acts 2 now because that may be a way that you can go back. We're not going to be able to read it all. You can go back and read the rest of the passage later as well. But before we read, I just want to take a moment to pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence. We join the ancient prayer of the church and we say, come, Holy Spirit. We thank you that you're here with us. And we just ask that you would continue to breathe life on us, that you would continue to breathe your Spirit on us, and that you would prepare us to be your witnesses to all the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Acts 2 starts with this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them, who? All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" And then it goes on to list these native languages or these areas that were represented that heard the works of God declared in their language. And so I don't want to do the disservice of mispronouncing their name, but I want to take a minute to read these names because it's important. It doesn't say that there was just a bunch of people and a bunch of tongues. It lists them by name. And then it says that these are both Jews and converts to Judaism, and that they heard them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Verse 12 says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." That's what Pentecost is. That's the beginning of Pentecost. It goes on. You should read it. It's good. But that is what we are coming together to remember and celebrate today. On the day of Pentecost, God moved in power through his Spirit and released his followers, both men and women, as witnesses to the world. Pentecost is the fulfillment of Jesus' promise in Acts 1:8. The disciples received power and they witnessed. And I think sometimes we can think of Pentecost as this great renewal or simply a miraculous show of power. But the wind, the fire, the tongues, this represented God to the crowd in ways that we may not fully realize on a first read through. The wind and the fire were witnessing or declaring something about God to the crowd, because we don't have time to fully delve into the symbolism, but the wind, the flames of fire, they would have called to mind moments in their history with God. And so, for example, the flames of fire maybe would have had the crowd remember the way that God's presence led the Israelites as a pillar of fire. Or maybe it would remind them of the fire that fell on the sacrifice in 1 Kings. And the crowd would have recognized fire as a symbol of God's presence. So when they see the flames and the tongues of fire, they're seeing that this is God's presence rested on these people. And if you're interested in that, you can read more about this. This is also a historic Jewish festival. Pentecost was a festival. That's why people were gathered. And so if that stuff interests you, there's resources like Bible Projects that will blow your mind. It's so good. But we can just rest with the fact that this miracle is witnessing to God's kingdom. And so let's take a moment. We're not going to look at the wind or the fire specifically, but I do want to take some time to look at what this miracle of speaking in tongues witnesses to the crowd and to us. And so if we're going to look at that, we realize that the disciples are miraculous speaking in other languages. And despite the fact that there's all these languages speaking, they have one shared message in common. What is that message? Verse 11 says that they were declaring the wonders of God. They were witnessing. Now, it doesn't explicitly say that it's the wonders of Jesus, but we know that the crowd was confused. These Jews would have understood them proclaiming the wonders of Yahweh, because these were people who had known the scriptures. They were constantly going and reading the scriptures together. And we also know that Peter's response to their confusion is to then give a sermon where he outlines Jesus as the Messiah who fulfills the promise of Scripture. He shares that the man they crucified not even 2 months earlier was the Messiah they read about. He was the one they were waiting for. And so for me, I believe that because of their confusion and because of the message about Jesus as the Messiah, I believe that what they're declaring are the works of Jesus. And so like we talked about our first week, as followers of Jesus, we witness with more than just our words. Our witness is more than repeating just facts. We are embodied witnesses. And so them declaring the works of God is more than just the words. They're declaring that there's power too, that God's Spirit is with them. And as Jesus perfectly represented or bore witness to the Father and his kingdom during his time on earth, he invites us to represent him now through the Holy Spirit in both word and deed. Pentecost is witness. And so Jesus' followers are bearing witness to God's character through their words, but also through the wonder that's happening before the crowd's very eyes and ears. The miracle, the miraculous empowerment to speak in unknown languages, was pointing to God's very heart. It was speaking to a truth about heaven. It shows that witness is for everyone. Who is witness for? Everyone. And so to understand this a little bit more, let's zoom back and look at some of the overarching themes that we see throughout the scriptures. All throughout the scriptures, we see that God's desire is to be with his people. And as soon as he's separated from his people, he promises that one day they would be restored. But if you read past the first few pages of your Bible, you'll see story after story of humanity continuing to choose life apart from God. We see this at the Tower of Babel, when all of humanity is on the brink of choosing a life apart, where instead of them serving God, they are trying to have God serve them. And so in response, languages are released. And as languages are released, confusion and chaos ensues. Understandably, you're one moment talking to someone and perfectly understand each other, and the next moment, you aren't. And so in the aftermath, the crowd disperses and they begin to scatter across all the earth. So people lost in confusion and separation of these new languages suddenly find that there's a barrier between them and the people around them. However, God has a plan. And it's at this point that we are introduced to Abraham and begin to see exactly how God is going to restore connection with his people once and for all. God talks to and chooses this man named Abraham and decides that he and his future family would be set apart and live differently from the people around them, so that this family would represent and bear witness to the world about who God is. And so everything that God directs this family to do is for the sake of bearing witness to the nations. And God performs a lot of signs among this family for the sake of witnessing. He gives them the law, and the law wasn't just a set of rules for rules' sake. The law was supposed to be a way that the world or the nations could see and understand the good, perfect nature of Yahweh through the set apart and moral actions of his people. God's faithfulness to this family acts as a witness of God's faithfulness to all of humanity. God promises to bless all nations through Abraham's descendants. And if you've read anything in the Old Testament, you probably saw that this chosen family was actually pretty crummy at representing God to the rest of the world. They were constantly turning to worship other gods. They were constantly choosing to do what they thought best rather than what God was leading them to. And so they weren't very good witnesses. But through the lineage of this family came a perfect witness, a sent savior. Through the lineage of Abraham, Jesus comes and perfectly represents God and his reign to the world in both word and deed. He comes and he perfectly represents God and his coming kingdom. And before he ascends into heaven, he promises followers that the Spirit will come to them and empower them to now represent God. And so the book of Acts is full of ways that the Spirit empowers and is with these early disciples to witness to the world who God is. And so first, Pentecost is witness. And Pentecost is for everyone. And these witnesses declaring the works of God in these witnesses are declaring the works of God in all sorts of languages. But what's interesting about this miracle of Jesus' followers speaking these many languages is that it's actually unclear whether it was even necessary for the crowd to communicate. The crowd gathered was gathered for a Jewish festival. These were people who knew the word of God, and they probably would have known at least some religious Hebrew. But the Spirit empowering the disciples to speak in many languages points to the very nature of God's coming kingdom. The languages prophetically point to the expression of worship of the kingdom as described in Revelation. I think we have this to put on the screen. Revelation says that there will be a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language. That this multitude would stand before the throne and before the Lamb. This is what heaven will be like. And this is what the Spirit is empowering now. And so Pentecost does not simply reverse what happens at Babel. No, because Pentecost is undoing Babel. If God simply reversed Babel, there would just be one unified language, a holy language. But that's not what happens. Instead of ridding the expression of languages or diversity, the Spirit takes away the barrier that causes disunity. In God's kingdom, we will see beautiful expressions of diversity. And these expressions will not be tarnished by sin that takes something beautiful and makes it a barrier. We will see diversity and we will see unity. As embodied witnesses of the kingdom, we are to bear witness to the world, the beauty and diversity and the unity of heaven through our engagement with the world. We're empowered to bear witness to the kingdom by bringing harmony in places of discord, and to bear witness to wholeness where there's schism. We are empowered to bear witness in places where before there was a barrier. The Spirit empowers witness to everyone because God's kingdom, his new family, is open to all who will say yes for him. Pentecost is for everyone. God's desire has never been just for one nation, one type of person, or one language to be restored. His heart has always been that all would be reconciled to him. And so what's happening at Pentecost is not just an undoing of Babel, but it's also restoring God's intention to make all people his people. His people wouldn't be confined to just the family of Abraham or just the Israelites. God no longer intends one nation or one family to represent him. Because Jesus, the perfect witness, has started a new family where all people from all nations are invited into adoption through him. Galatians 4:4-5, Miss Lydia, I think you'll like this one, says it this way: but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. God is making a new family. This family is not constrained or defined by language or lineage. It includes all languages and all nations. Jesus has started a new family, and we have a heavenly lineage. A lineage of people from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And this is really important for us today. This is really important for us to know that the family that God is lifting up to be his witness is Jesus' family. Because the enemy so often takes something that's true and twists it. And so maybe you've heard a lie that there's a new Israel. Maybe you've heard a lie that there's supposed to be a new nation of the world in this day and age that's supposed to represent God to the rest of the world. And that's a half-truth. Yes, there is a new family, there's a new nation, but it is not of earthly origin. The new family is the family of Jesus, and all are invited into adoption through that family. We are witnesses to the world. We are invited into a family that witnesses who God is to the world. But what is our witness for? What does our witness invite people into? You know, I think we can think of witnesses in some pretty defined ways. If I say a witness, what comes to mind for you? A courtroom. Testimony, yes. When I got married, they were like, who's your witnesses? And I was like, what? I had to find people to be a witness to my marriage. And I think the courtroom is probably the most like clear picture of a witness. And what does a witness do in a courtroom? They come and they share what they've seen. And I guess maybe there is an invitation. Are you going to believe it? But when we're witnesses to the world, there's a greater invitation. The invitation is not just, are you going to believe it? And so let's skip down to Acts 2:37, because Peter preaches, and there's an invitation that follows. Because after the roaring wind, after the shocking display of tongues of fire, after the expression of a mirage of languages, declaring the works of God, and after Peter's sermon, people are pierced to the heart. Verse 37 says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other disciples, brothers, what shall we do? If this is true, as it seems to be, what do we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Pentecost does not just witness to things that have already happened. It witnesses what God can do for others. Whether you live in Jerusalem, Judea, or Samaria, or like you and me out to the ends of the earth, if you choose to repent, to turn back to God, your sins will be forgiven. You will be reunited with God. You will be a citizen of this new holy nation, of this holy family, just as he always planned. And you, too, can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You, too, can be a witness to what God's done. As Vineyard people, this is so core to our identity. We've always understood ourselves as people of the Spirit. One of our church's values is balancing word and spirit, and we know that the Spirit is for us and for us as witnesses. The encounters we have in this room are supposed to lead us to bear witness outside of this room. And God's Spirit is definitely not confined to this room, but the Spirit is also empowering us when we're out there. Every time we give an account of Jesus and his works, the Spirit is empowering us. John Wimber often talked about the signs and wonders being our leading edge in evangelism. But as I was prepping this week, I was remembering how resistant I was when I first started attending a Vineyard church as a teenager. I found myself making the Vineyard my church home after a 12-year-old girl prayed for me, and I could physically feel the love of God in my body. And I had a predicament, because now I was kind of stuck there, right? This was an incredible moment, and so I found myself in this new church home. And so I was both relieved and excited that there was more to God than just a moral code or a way to get to heaven. I couldn't believe that God's Spirit was alive and active and something that I could tangibly feel. But I also began to notice something about the people around me at this new church home. I mean, for one, they actually read their Bible. I had never been around people that didn't just say you should do that, but actually did that. Now, even more crazy, some of these people read their Bible before church. I thought, surely God wouldn't ask that of them. I mean, they're sitting through an hour service. Does God really ask that of his people? But it didn't stop there. People didn't just read their Bibles. I heard stories where this new-to-me spirit was also prompting them to give $20 to the person in front of them at the checkout line. They were bearing witness to stories where this spirit was asking them to stop and share a prophetic word with a stranger. They bore witness to the ways that God asked them to change their plans in a moment at his promptings. These people were bearing witness to me about something that was deeply troubling. God was asking something of his people. And this was troubling because these stories, they were from regular old people. These weren't just the pastors or the spiritual elite. These were 12-year-olds who drank a lot of Mountain Dew and played Minecraft. And people who were nurses and baristas who sometimes had bad breath and who had kids that had tantrums in 20-year-old Hondas covered in rust. These were regular people like me. And I was troubled because if God could ask them to do these things, that meant that God could ask something of me too. And to be honest, that terrified me. What if God asked me to be a witness in my day-to-day life? What if the Great Commission wasn't just for a select group of ministers and missionaries? Because up to this point, all that I thought God was asking of me was to acknowledge his existence and my brokenness. But these were people that were witnessing something new to me. The God they were bearing witness to was constantly asking and directing his people to do things, to change, to give up money, to give up plans and time and energy. And it was way, way easier to think that I was just not one of the lucky ones, that I just wasn't someone who could hear God's voice. I just wasn't someone who could have God with me than it was to believe that God would want to use me as a witness, that God would want to make his dwelling within me. And so I thought the Holy Spirit was a burden. But Pentecost tells us something different. Pentecost tells us that the Holy Spirit is a gift. In verse 38, Peter says to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God sends his Spirit as a gift to his followers as he sends them out. It's a gift. They do not witness alone. And even that is a signpost of the kingdom. God is with us. We don't have to wait until the kingdom comes in full to be restored to relationship with God. It's being offered to us now. When we repent, when we are baptized, when we choose adoption through Jesus, we receive the gift of his Spirit. His Spirit is taking up residence within our bodies. God is with us. And I didn't know it, but what I was struggling with was actually whether I thought God was worth surrendering to. That was the question at the core of this. Is God safe? Is he worth it? Will I completely lose myself in this process? And so I never made one big act of surrender, but through little acts of surrender, through little acts of stepping out and being a witness, God continued to fill me with his Spirit. With each tiny act of surrender, God in his grace met my open hands and heart and filled me with more and more of him. Now, I want to say this just really fast, but I encountered God in new ways as I witnessed. I was witnessing God as I witnessed, which seems like it should make sense, but I just remember the first time that I got to pray with someone for deliverance. I was at a youth retreat and worship was going, and this girl comes to me and is like, you need to pray for me. You need to get this thing out. And I was like, okay, where's the adult in the room? And then I looked around and it was me. And I had never done this. I didn't know anything of this. I just had heard stories of people like shouting and screaming. And it was this big, crazy thing. And it was scary. And it looked inhumane. But as I took this student to the side and I was able to get other leaders who were a little more experienced than me, I witnessed something beautiful that day. This process of praying for this student and her getting set free was not something that took away her dignity. No, it helped me see her dignity. It was the most beautiful process of seeing the God, the image bearing of this girl. She bore the image of God in that moment, and I could see it in new ways during this prayer. And so I just want to say, as we witness to the world, we are going to witness and learn more and more about God ourselves. You don't have to have it all together. You don't have to know it all to go out and be a witness. We learn as we are witnesses in the world. And so Pentecost was one day in history that we remember God filling his church to be witnesses. But it reminds us that God is continuously filling his church. We can continuously be filled with the Spirit, as Paul directs in Ephesians 5. And so let's all stand. Do we want that Spirit today? Do we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? And the Spirit is just so intricately intertwined with witness. And so during worship, I just felt like I heard the question, will we be his witnesses? And so that's just what I want to pray for. So if you're open to it, if you're open to holding out your hands, we're going to invite the Spirit to come. Would you join me in the prayer of the church by saying, come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And we're going to wait. You don't have to pray. The disciples had to wait for the Spirit too. There's nothing wrong with waiting, but we're going to wait on the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. And I want to make space this morning specifically. Jordan Singh was at our church, and he said to do the things that we read about. And one of the things we read about is repentance. And so if you've never repented, if you've never turned to Jesus and said, hey, I want to make you Lord of my life. I trust you as Lord. Or I'm ready to begin the process of that today. I just want to make space for you to come up and to repent. And I'll maybe if you could come specifically to this side of the stage, because No one's going to pray for you while you're repenting. We just want to make space for you to come up and repent, to turn to Jesus. If you're feeling cut to the heart, there's space for you to respond. There's space for you to say, what do I do? And I hope you hear that you can repent and be baptized. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you. I just thank you for the courage. Lord, if there's more, I just ask that you would give courage. It takes courage to step out. And so we just honor the courage. Spirit, would you convict us to speak what's true? Would you convict us to turn to you? But I also want to make space. Maybe you've been going through this series and you've been feeling scornful. As you see the thing, as you see the signs, as you see people getting healed and freed, your heart's hardened. It just looks like a show of power. And maybe the Lord's showing you that there's actually an invitation for you to repent for that as well. To realize that, to just confess that these signs are signs of his kingdom. And so if that's you too, you can come up to the same side. And then the last group. Maybe you're being cut to the heart, and you too are hearing the question, will you be my witness? Will you be filled with my Spirit again? And if that's you, I just want you to come up to the front as well. If you want more of the Spirit, if you want to be filled with this gift, if you want to go out and witness to the world the goodness of God, if you want to be filled again, it doesn't matter if you've been filled once. This is a continuous thing. If you want to be filled, would you come up? But Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being with us today. Go out and be the church.